Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man whose mother still thinks he should try to get a real job.
Dear folks, I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Very excited about having Michael Saltzman back on the show. Mike is a great member of our Brain Trust, VP of Berman & Company. He's a research director at Employment Policy Institute, and he is a frequent commentator and on labor policy issues. You've seen him on television and other places, and as well as on our show many times. He's our good friend, Michael Saltzman. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, always good to be here. Thanks.
Good to have you back, Michael. So, Mike, I want you to report to us on some of this, what's being called fairness and flexibility that's being pushed down employers' throats. I think a lot of small business owners are probably not quite yet familiar with it, but it's coming their way if we don't do something about it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, you know, in recent years there's been I think people sense there's been a moving of the goalposts where it's no longer just say a minimum wage increase or a healthcare requirement that's expected of you, but now the labor groups want more, and the latest challenge is something they're calling a flexible scheduling, or I think you could brand it inflexible scheduling. And essentially what it means is that if you have someone who's working a part-time schedule, you're required by law to give them their schedule up to 21 days in advance. And then if you make any schedule changes after that, you have to pay them for time they haven't worked. So you have to pay them for up to 4 hours that they haven't worked.
So slow down. So I've got to schedule somebody 21 days in advance, and so if I tell them they're going to work 35 hours 4 weeks from now, and they work 30 hours, we actually work 30 hours, I got to pay them for the five?
If you made a change to their schedule after that schedule was provided, you'd have to pay them for up to 4 hours, depending on how soon you made it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the law already in San Francisco. San Francisco was the first to pass it. Now here in D.C. and in a couple other cities, they're considering this. And I think the way I put it in context for someone the other day is, you know, you can imagine this summer being an ice cream store owner and having a day where, you know, it's raining outside unexpectedly, and so typically you would just, you know, you'd tell half of your, three quarters of your staff to stay home. In this case, you can do that, but you got to pay them all for at least part of their shift.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's the difficulty, and that's the new challenge. I think within 5 years, I mean, there's already a federal bill on this, and I think within a couple of years, this will be the new minimum wage demand. It'll be the new thing that people are asking for.
So this is coming right out of the playbook of the unions, right?
It is, you know, and I think, you know, if people hear some of these requirements, and they might not sound out of place in a collective bargaining agreement, and they're actually modeled after collective bargaining agreements. I think unions have sort of taken a new strategic path, which is to say, well, you know, we're having trouble convincing people to get into unions, and so instead we're going to try and legislate mm-hmm. some of our agenda.
Yeah, so if they can get their agenda de facto in the regular workplace, then it's not that big a leap for people to go in and say, okay, well, we might as well go ahead in for a penny, in for a pound, right?
That's right. You know, it's over time. You know, if you look at the stats on who is in a union, people who work full time are more likely to feel an attachment to their job. They're more likely to be willing to think union. And so as far as the unions are concerned, they don't, you know, if a new law like this means fewer flexible part-time positions, they don't really care about that as long as they have more full-time dues-paying members.
And so, folks, this is guerrilla warfare. This is existential fighting for the unions, because when I was a kid, way back, unions were 28, 30% of workforce. Today they're like 6% of the workforce. They got they got a product nobody wants anymore, Michael. And yet, and the leadership, instead of saying, okay, let's just shut it down, you know, our business is failing, nobody wants to buy our business, let's just shut it down. The leadership now, they're fighting for the leaderships who are fighting for their lives, aren't they? Not the unions, the leadership.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because, ultimately the unions do what they do because they have members who are paying them dues, and so you've seen unions make, in some cases, some really expensive investments
right.
in new organizing strategies. I mean,
and in political campaigns. And see, here's the thing to remember, folks: the union leaders are the ones who have access and control of the money, not the rank and file. So, folks, this is just more sad stuff going on in America these days. But keep your head up, keep pay attention. It may be coming to a workplace near you soon. Quick break, 22. See you next.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.